permission to park there, when, and, you know, we don't even know what's in these 18-wheelers, I'm saying. This again goes back to our drinking water aquifer, that's why it's important, right? So, I think just to close it out, just to understand when to start, I know Gary, you're saying it's been forever, well, that's not, you know, that's not a timeline. And I don't want to belabor this any longer, I mean, you know, I think we've all kind of looked at this as, all right, so what are we gonna do? But again, it would be nice to just close it out, find out why they're there, how they got permission, how long have they been there, and by that, I mean, we must know who owns the property, right? It's got a tax code, and you know.
Some of my people in Florida.
Okay, it's a phone call, right?
But that was the father owned it at one time, he died, left it to his son.
Right.
And his son lives in Florida, so I'm not even sure where his son knows what goes on up there.
Well, it appears to be operated by other than the owner.
Yes.
Right.
I'm not even sure who's operating now since.
I believe Sean was up there, and I believe he did do, he did a review for, I think the River Reporter indicated that there was construction debris.
Right, and they would have inspected that and stuff in there.
And so he did go up and inspect and did not find any construction debris. And
yeah,
I believe he talked to the operator when he did that. So, you know, Sean, could you talk a little bit about how much time is too much time, in a, even in a range sort of way?
Oh, gosh. Meaning to prevent government action?
Yes.
You know, it can be as, there's different cases, because I dealt with this scenario in Dallas Township in Luzerne County, where it was a residential property, well, it was a commercial property on the bottom, a residential property on the top, and it had gone on for so long that they were then, I think the person had come in, talked to the township, the zoning officer may have given some advice or not, the zoning officers later changed. I also saw this in another township where it was a auto mechanic shop, where the neighbor, a new neighbor bought the adjoining lot and came in and said, wait a minute, I didn't know that there was a auto mechanic shop next door to me, this doesn't make any sense. And then the township came in and said, well, unfortunately, that person has been operating here, has a sign up, been going on for a very long time. I've seen it as short as, I mean, it could be a year, it could be 6 years, it doesn't have to be, it has to be a relatively significant period of municipal inaction. So I would say, I mean, 2 or 3 years would do it.
It's been there longer than that.
Certainly.
But I mean, it very well, if the municipality knows about it and doesn't do anything about it, and then that person basically invests money in the company, you know, continues their business, makes it even harder to stop that use. And that, I mean, that could be as short as a year. It could be, you know, 3 years, 6 years. My case was 6 years, but I have seen them shorter than that, where sometimes it's 20 years and nobody did anything, but I've seen it a little bit shorter, where it's like, for a year and a half, I got my permit, I got my building permit, I've been doing what I'm doing. It's only been a year and a half, but still, the township didn't stop me, so I have a vested right. That's kind of the way that goes.
Right, but it still doesn't sound like you know of the time frame. It sounds like a fluid time frame. It 20 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. So
it's not like adverse possession where you have that 21 years. 21 years is adverse possession. So if you're taking your neighbor's garden and you've fenced it in and you know you don't own it and you're planting your flag there and saying, my garden now, and don't even come on my property, 21 years is for adverse possession. But it's not a hard and fast rule when it comes to vested rights or variance by estoppel. In this scenario, I mean, one thing, the possibility is if the owner doesn't have a non-conforming use certificate, we could send him a letter asking him to apply for a non-conforming use certificate, and that owner, depending on what our form says, could say, you know, I've been operating this property as a truck depot or whatever he's doing over the parking lot for X amount of years. But if we don't have a mechanism by which we can do that, unfortunately, we're going to be stopped from
effective enforcement. Sure. But I mean, at least that sounds like a reasonable thing to do. I mean, just ask. That's all I'm basically saying. I'm not saying you have to come off, we don't know, find them. I think that's a reasonable next step, just to find out and ask the owner. How did this come about? Your dad had the trucks there, and now I have it, and I have trucks there. That's all right, and they can't do anything. I understand that. You know, we always stop the fire, but Okay, let's go on to other business.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Sean.
Secretary's report.
Pike County Commissioners at their meeting on February 19, 2025, authorized Milford Township's fiscal year 2024 fourth quarterly payment of $15,000. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation liquid fuels tax fund payment in the amount of $56,255.73 will be paid on March 3rd, 2025. And also road turnback annual maintenance payment in the amount of $2,840 will be paid on March 3rd, 2025. That's all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Old business, fidelity and crime coverage.
I make a motion that we table this item.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Zoning map comments and schedule a hearing for the same.
The zoning map.
So right now, I was asked to get the file together on the map to give to Tony. So I think we need to table that until I can do so.
Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion to table it for the next meeting.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed. Section 407 of the zoning ordinance. We sent it to the Water Authority for comments. And we need to try and schedule a joint meeting with them and the planning commission.
What was the letter we got? They didn't have, John didn't respond yet, right?
There's been no response from the Water Authority that you're aware of, right?
Right.
We had to call back that original meeting that we had tried to set up, that their attorney was not available.
There was I think Tony's office sent out a letter to John. I didn't see an answer to it, though.
So we have no date from the Water Authority yet?
No.
Did you get county comments back yet?
No.
But did it go to the county?
Yeah, county. Yes, we did. We got county comments back. Yeah, we're on 407.
On 407?
Well, all the county comments were squared away. We're just up to the Water Authority.
Right.
I'm not sure that's the case. Shauna, do you know if 407 went to the county? Or were we waiting for the Water Authority first and going to send it to the county once we thought it was done?
I believe we are waiting to have a meeting with them first, and right. Then we will send it to them.
That was my recollection. Yeah. If, however, the Water Authority is going to be non-responsive, then... So I'll make a motion that we send follow-up correspondence to the Water Authority and offer the Planning Commission's meeting... Do you have the workshop meeting? The applicant? Well, the workshop is too soon for us to advertise a joint meeting.
Right.
So for the regular Planning Commission meeting, are you expecting the applicant?
Not that I know of. They didn't say anything about coming in because they're still in talks over the ordinance change.
So I would make a motion that we send the Water Authority a letter offering them the Planning Commission meeting date as a joint meeting, the regular meeting at the end of the month, and indicate to them that if they are non-responsive, that we're going to schedule a hearing on this with the language. You know, we're going to send that language to the county, I should say.
That would be the 25th.
March 25th.
Yeah, March 25th. I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed.
Question. Section 407, the changes in Section 407, are they available for public review? Are they online?
They've been discussed at a public meeting, are subject to right to know. Could you just give Fred the last edition of the 407? Subsequent moment tomorrow or something.
Really? Isn't it exempt from right to know?
No. It's not exempt from right to know. It was discussed at a public meeting.
Okay. Sure.
So.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next item is a request by the PUC to use our building for the Pike County Light and Power hearings for the increase in the power. I'll make a motion that we allow the PUC to have their meetings here on March 18th, 2025 from at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m.
I'll second it.
Before we vote on it, what arrangements are we making for the building to be available in the actually both times? Because both times are outside of staff.
They're going to use, the judges will use this table. We're going to set up a small table on the side for the attorneys. And we told them we can seat about 40 people. Any more than that, we'd be out in the hall. And they said they're fine with that.
Okay.
How about
however,
keys?
However, we normally don't have staff in the office at that time. So that's what I'm trying to... Are we asking Harvey to keep the door open and be here at that time on that date? And that would be the afternoon and the evening. Are we doing that? How's that happening?
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday, I work on Tuesdays.
I'll come down and take care of that.
Okay, so we'll ask Harvey to do the afternoon and Bob will do the evening.
Well, Harvey goes home in two.
Okay, can you?
I'll do both.
Okay. And then the next question that I had was security. Do you think we need to ask the sheriff to send anyone, or you think we don't need to worry about that?
I don't think we need to.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm calling the question.
Yeah, I think we'll be good.
All in favor.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
Two things. A comment and question. You were talking about attendance. Not that this necessarily is pertinent or means anything. It may or may not. But I know I covered the First Energy hearings in East Stroudsburg. And I went there expecting, because it was supposed to cover Monroe and Pike counties three people came. So, and all they talked about was bad service. Nobody talked about money. And it's supposed to be about increases. And all they talked about was their idea of bad services. It was a little frustrating. Other thing is, an off the record comment, if I could. I understand what you did, and that's great. I don't know if you're aware that and I'm not trying to stir anything, but realistically, on that, I had gotten a press release that evidently, the way it was set up, was going out to media, establishing that this was already done, which I think is really presumptive on their part, from what I'm hearing now, that they should have at least waited for your approval. And, you know, I'm again, off the record, I just, you know, I hear this now and it bothers me that they sent this out to all the media, you know, basically inviting them to come here for this. I already have somebody assigned to cover it because I'm on production that day. I can't leave the office, but somebody else is coming. But, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like as an outsider, I'm just wondering, shouldn't they have at least spoken to you or contacted you in some way and asked for your permission?
I was here.
That's
yeah,
all.
I was here the day they called, and they called and asked if they could use it. I told them they'd have to wait till the meeting. But they needed an affirmative action right away so they could get it out in time for people to come to it. So I called our attorney, and our attorney said it shouldn't be a problem, and then we just have to ratify it at this meeting.
Okay.
That's how it came about.
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew.
Given that we had already taken action to send an inquiry to the consumer advocate requesting that they open a hearing and have and open a dialogue, I think that our attorney felt comfortable that there would be board approval.
Yeah, because we already approved sending a letter to them.
First Energy one was very, very, very well organized, extremely well organized.
Well, I'm sure the PUC will be very well organized. Whether we have folks, you know, coming out to talk about the rate increase, I don't know about you guys. My electric bill this month was the highest it has ever been in the 27 years that we've been in our house, and we have been racking our brain trying to figure out how or why, and haven't come up with a reason. But it was substantially higher than it has ever been before. I'm not sure if folks are paying attention to some of the rate increase details. I hope they are. But one of them is indicating that they are going to go to electronic, you know, Wi-Fi meters. And if you refuse a Wi-Fi meter, they're going to charge $50 a month
to read it.
To read your meter. So I hope folks are.
I didn't realize that. That's
great. I hope folks are paying attention to those items. From the township's perspective, I believe that we should make some comments about the difficulty that we've had in switching to LED streetlights, because the majority of expense that the township has for electric is in our streetlights, and we have been 4 years now asking Pike County Light and Power to switch all of the lamps over to LEDs to reduce our electric bill, which of course, you know, for their, from their perspective, is a reduction in revenue. And so sort of a little bit of a conflict there. And they have been indicating to us that they are trying, and yet back orders and other things. And we have nothing, no recourse except to show up for events like this and talk about the fact that we've been asking for this. But there's a substantial part of that increase that regular folks don't pay any attention to, which is the increase that they're proposing for street lighting. And that will hit Milford Township very significantly. We already pay about half a mil in street lighting expenses annually, and it's going to go up substantially. That's going to be a big deal. I imagine it will also matter in the borough, given that they have a lot more street lights than we have in the township. You know, but, you know, I hope folks do pay attention and come out, and maybe the fact that there'll be a hearing here. The last time the hearings were on the phone, and so you had to know how to mute yourself and you had to dial in. But maybe if it's here in their own community in a place that they're comfortable with, they'll come out and they'll talk about how they feel about the rate increase. I think probably overall most people just feel defeated about something like that. They just assume that it's not going to matter, right, that they're just still going to get the increase. But I hope that they will come out and be heard. Mr. Pittman's not on today. He's usually our person who talks about things like utility rate increases. But we'll make sure that he's aware of the upcoming hearing date.
I have to wait till next month to see what my electric bill is. It's really high right now because I take heat tape and wrap it around my oil tank and plug it in so it doesn't gel.
Well, we have, you know, that
bill goes up.
We have things that cause our electric to go up at my house, but none of them that are particularly new. So we just can't figure out why all of a sudden it would really spike. But it did.
I know in adding to that, I've inquired, I called up First Energy and Met Ed about my bill because it was just significantly higher. And their answer, they cut away and they come back and say, well, you know, your kilowatt usage is higher than last year. Now, I have no way of arguing that. My wife said, from now on, save all the old bills. I throw them out after a few months, figuring my balance is okay. I don't have to, you know, keep them. But I'm going to hold on to them now because they're telling me that my usage is significantly higher, and I can't see how. I mean,
that was definitely the basis of the increase in my personal household bill. It indicated higher usage. We're just not figuring out where that usage is coming from.
Yeah.
So.
The electric sidewalk.
I agree.
I have had those. I have heat tracks at my house, and I love them. But I have had those heat tracks for years.
Yeah, we had back-to-back ice storms too, which makes them work a lot harder.
Mm. But those were pretty recent.
Yeah,
this is
the
bill
last 3 weeks.
From January usage,
from
right?
January.
It would be January usage that you would get the bill.
Most of them
pay it in February, right?
The ice storms are all in February.
And gas furnace has been kicking on a hell of a lot more. Cold weather.
You never know, but.
You never know.
You know, I've been in that house for 27 years, and there's only a few things that have changed for it to be quite as high as it is. Who knows? So folks can come out, and I hope they will come out. But
yes.
Wayne, I think Bob answered your question. Yeah.
Thank you.
Consideration of a proposal from Meyer CPA to handle the township's payroll and payroll taxes.
I'll make a motion that we have that we enter into an agreement with Meyer to handle the payroll and payroll taxes.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Eastern Pike
Act. Did you have your hand up, Sean? I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin. Eastern Pike Act 537 plan, request for execution of a resolution or letter.
You should table that until Tony's back.
Yeah.
He was working on that.
I'll make a motion we table that until our attorney's back.
Didn't he indicate to us what he wanted us to do?
Yeah.
I thought he did. Want to send a letter. And then I didn't hear any further.
He didn't get back to us after that, though.
Okay, there was further communication?
Yeah, he was going to say something that when we brought it up at the meeting.
Yeah, here's the whole thing right here. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Jessica.
He did say we're not signing it, but...
Yeah.
I'd rather have his reasons.
Oh, no, we weren't never going to do the resolution. That was clear.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I'll make a motion we table that for our next meeting.
Yes, second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Authorization for attorneys to assist with development of proposed multi-use zoning attachment amendments.
I will make a motion that we... advise Tony, who's here today, that we do not authorize our attorneys to assist the applicant in developing this ordinance unless the applicant is going to agree to pay our costs and both the Planning Commission's special attorney for this application and Tony are participating in any and all subsequent meetings.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Tax documents for building permits and COs.
You might have seen, we have correspondence in our packets from Joe.
Yes.
And Joe was indicating to us that the county tax assessment office has indicated that... They're looking to get copies of all of both the zoning and the building permits and the COs.
I always thought they did get copies of the zoning permits.
They used to get copies of just the building permit when it was CO'd.
Okay.
Now they want, I guess they want to make sure they're getting it up front the minute the application's put in so they can monitor the process. But they also want a copy of the zoning permit, too.
Well, he indicated in his email he's never sent COs in the past, but now they're requiring
them. They've been required right along, and they stopped taking them for a while. And that this is pretty much them saying they want to start it again. But that's how they used to go out and review the work that was done for any increase in taxes.
Well, here's the other question that I had about this particular issue, and that is there a gap period where the county has been unable to handle something because they were missing the COs? Because this isn't clear about that. Sean, would you please follow up with the county assessment office to find out if they are missing any certificates of occupancy or zoning permits that they need from us going back?
Going back, like how far back?
Well, how find out from them okay. How far back they think they have a gap that they need.
Mm. Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Any other public participation?
Question. Is letter new business E, is that pertinent to the Santos Forum situation?
Yes.
That change? That makes you change?
Yes.
Okay. So in other words, do I understand correctly, as a question I'm asking, that in other words, you want them to help carry the cost of amending that ordinance?
If they want to use our attorneys.
If they want to use your attorneys?
Yes.
To develop their proposal.
To develop their proposal.
Okay, now I understand it correctly, okay.
And we want both attorneys. The planning commission's attorney and this township solicitor, not one or the other.
Right.
So you want, so both sets of attorneys, the township attorney and the...
Planning commission attorney.
Okay, planning commission, thank you.
Kevin?
I would ask the supervisors to use caution. I don't wanna see an amendment proposed by the applicant that they feel is a slam dunk. And I understand it from the applicant's point of view, but that's what they want done. So I think it's very important that both attorneys weigh in and that's brought before the supervisors before there's any kind of formal...
Well, be brought before you guys.
Before the planning board.
Right.
Be going to the planning board and then us.
Right. Our issue, Kevin, is that we received correspondence from our attorney indicating that he, in fact, already had a meeting with the applicant to work on developing a draft.
Quite frankly, at the last planning commission meeting, he made us aware that he was probably going to do that. And I specifically asked him if that was appropriate under the circumstances.
And we had a little bit of discussion about this during the workshop, and we asked Sean what he thought, and how normal that would be. And he indicated that would only be the case normally if the applicant had already agreed to pay the cost of those professional services in advance of expending that time that the township would be billed for. And he indicated that, yeah, it would be something that they typically would do to work on a draft and then bring it back to the entities who would actually review it so that they had a working draft available when they came in the door. But it doesn't seem to me that the applicant was anticipating...
I'm more concerned about the eagerness to work together.
Well,
before
and that's...
Before we know what the circumstances
that's
are.
That's part of why we want Andy engaged as well.
I'll leave it at that.
That's part of why I think, we felt it would be appropriate to have the Planning Commission's attorney also participate in those meetings. And the word transparency was thrown around, and I was not happy to hear that word used in that manner when you had a meeting that was scheduled without the Planning Commission's attorney and was scheduled within the hour that it took place. And so, whoops, we didn't have time to engage another person. And I don't want to see that continue. And so if you have to coordinate three attorney schedules, I have a feeling we'll have a little bit better notification. And I think that they have to pay. The township residents should not be paying for our attorneys to help them develop their proposal. That's something that they should be paying for. So if they would like that, then they need to pay for it.
I'd like to make another motion on that too, that if that be the situation and they want to meet with our attorneys, even if they're paying for our attorneys, that there should be a minimum of 5 days notice of the meeting.
Meaning just so our attorneys would be able to be available for it, that they're not dropping other things?
It's not a last minute thing where nobody's notified that it's happening.
I'm sure it would help Tony in terms of his scheduling, for sure. I'm sure his staff would be very happy about that.
Otherwise, the answer is no, we can't meet with you today.
We've been doing this, thank you for your due diligence, all three of you. We've been years at this, and now there's a panic. It's the panic of the applicant, it's not our panic.
Correct.
And I don't want to unduly hold them up either for whatever we're doing, but... Everybody's got to be reasonable here, not just us.
The analogy that I used when we were discussing this in the workshop, Kevin, was that we're not permitted as a Board of Supervisors to have an emergency meeting for an emergency that we created.
Okay.
Well, I got a motion on the table.
So. I'll second that motion. That's to amend the letter to indicate 5 day
notice. 5 day
notice well.
Before any meetings.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
I have a question for Sean.
Sure.
If both attorneys work on this and they pay our attorneys to work on it with them. Is there any conflict of interest when it comes back before us and there are attorneys?
Well, I guess Tony and Andy are planning to, they would know that when, if they're going into a meeting like this with the developers, that they're waiving any kind of, like, they'd sit down and they'd probably say, just like you've heard maybe your doctor say, or if you ever went for an independent medical exam, the doctor might have said, all right, I'm not treating you, and you understand that there is no doctor-patient privilege because I'm not treating you. Tony and Andy would sit down with their counsel or their development team and say, okay, well, obviously, you know, there is no attorney-client privilege between us. I represent the township. I represent the township planning commission. I act in the best interest of my clients. You act in the best interest of your clients. Even though you're utilizing sort of a group effort here to help create an ordinance, at the end of the day, they're going to make it very clear to the developers that we represent the township. Almost like if they were drafting a contract, they might even, you know, put some language on the record to indicate that this ordinance, although you're utilizing the township solicitors for our input because of their expertise, that this ordinance will not be used against us if we get it to the table and they say, okay, well, why should the Board of Supervisors have any problem with this? Their own attorneys drafted it. No. We didn't draft it. It's just like if you see a contract that says that no party has drafted this or there's no advantage to one party because one party drafted it over another, you might see that language in a contract. Same situation here where the supervisors or the council for the supervisors are not going to put themselves, and they're not going to be in a position where the supervisors are now going to be hamstrung some way because they utilized our council for the creation of the ordinance. They'll make it very clear in every meeting that they have with them that, all right, you're using our expertise, you're using our, because we know the township, we know the planning commission, we know the supervisors, but at the end of the day, you own this ordinance, you present it to the supervisors. We don't own this, meaning the attorneys. So you guys see it with fresh eyes. You're not going to see it in terms of, oh wait, so our guys already drafted this, they're gonna tell us, no, we still have, our attorneys are still gonna have the duty to represent us.
In other words, Tony will give the disclaimer that he doesn't speak on our behalf when he attends such a meeting. It would be inappropriate to presume otherwise.
I just wanted to make sure it doesn't come back as somebody can call it a conflict.
My whole concern is that there probably is a resolve to stay in the perimeters of the ordinance as it stands. That there doesn't have to be the creation of a new ordinance just to satisfy one applicant. So I think that's why we need Mr. Belwar at the table as well.
Yes, that's why.
And there's some simple things that they could do with abiding by setbacks and total use of the acreage and some disclaimers about not wanting to further use some of the property, that they may be able to do this completely within the perimeters of the ordinance the way it stands. So I don't see, I'm not convinced of this panic. This is a convenience ordinance. That's not why we're in business here.
Yeah, we discussed
that. And that's only my opinion, and no disrespect to the council.
None taken,
Kevin.
We had some of that discussion in the workshop, too.
Well, like I said, I appreciate your due diligence.
It's going to be very similar to like when we have our engineers reviewing a land development plan or something. The engineers are going to give their review comment letter. And then, of course, that the fact that our engineers have reviewed something does not mean that our engineers are now somehow taking some ownership of this development. No, it's you're simply using our professional review system, just like we do with the engineers or the attorneys. The applicant owns everything. If they're presenting something for the township, they own it. They have to present it, they have to defend it, just like they would with a land development application. I just wanted to add that, so it's very similar to something like that if they were using our engineer for a review.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm more concerned about setting a precedent for the rest of the township.
It would be an ordinance, right. Absolutely. It will apply everywhere.
Absolutely. So if we can work within the confines of what we have, then so enough said.
Yep.
Thank you.
Anything else on the public participation?
Well, the last thing, I would like on the agenda for the next meeting for us to have a discussion, consideration of sending a letter to our federal legislators to indicate, to discuss federal staffing levels in the area. And we can take that up when it's on the agenda, but in this board, prior to coming on, I believe, Bob, the No National Park Initiative, we took action to send letters to all the federal legislators in the region regarding our concerns over under capitalizing the needs of our, particularly the park, so that things like garbage collection and emergency services and other such things are not happening. And given the current situation, I think that we should be making inquiries.
They cut five.
In the park?
Yep.
And I've heard at Gray Towers they have only admin left.
Yeah, they cut five in the park so far, and right at the present time, I don't believe they're going to hire any seasonal from what I was told on Saturday.
Right, so what is the garbage collection going to look like? What is the traffic control going to look like? Is Gray Towers going to be open this year? I think that we should have that item on our agenda for our next meeting so we can discuss whether or not to send a letter to our federal legislators to inquire.
I agree. Yes, Fred.
So the situation with NPS has been going, this is nothing new. I mean, last year they had their budget cut by 12.5%. They've always been understaffed, always been underfunded. I believe our recreation area is $230 million in the hole, just on maintenance. Anybody that's driven on Old Mine Road? Hey, I don't know where we were for the last 20 years, but, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't write this letter, but why was nobody writing this letter last year when it was a 12.5% cut? Now, I've heard that the temporary workers are actually just being delayed. They're coming back in May. Because I know one of them personally, but that's what they've been told. And I don't know the situation, but I mean, this is just going from bad to worse. But, you know, we haven't reacted, we haven't said anything all these years. With $130 million in a hole.
I think you're not understanding. What I just said to Bob was that we did once before. We sent letters to all of our federal legislators.
We did that once.
Regarding the No National Park Initiative.
Did we send it last year?
Did we send it every single year? No.
No.
And I'm saying last year was a 12.5% cut. You know,
well, we have new legislators now.
We're trying to work with these guys to get the star back. Forget it. They don't. And there is an organization. NPS is an organization that has absolutely ground themselves to a grinding halt. Because all of a sudden you can't have volunteers anymore with using chainsaws. Right. You've got to be trained. They got one guy. And when we tried to get the Milford Knob opened up again, what happened? Well, he's out there doing stop and go on Tuona. That's their one chainsaw. I mean, this is they are a bureaucratic nightmare, and they're not alone. So I don't know how you fix it by writing our congressman. I'm not saying we shouldn't. That's got to be our first point of contact. And I'm praying you guys are successful. Because I've tried, I'm still waiting for a response from, what's his name now? The guy who's running NPS, the head NPS guy here.
He's a new head.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, so I'm hoping you guys have more success. Because this is going to be a disaster.
On the subject for our next meeting, on the agenda, please. Thank you.
Nothing else, I'll make a motion. We pay the bills and adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So passed.